Hello and welcome to another episode of Mike M's Weekly Reads. I took some time off. I think it's going on 2 weeks, maybe a little bit under 2 weeks, depending on when I release this. Mostly because of work. I've just been exhausted and my motivation has been really low. And I've been watching a lot more TV, believe it or not. I'm drinking watermelon juice. How about that from Tropicana? Change it up a little bit. I have some books to go over that I bought, but I'm not going to do that this episode. I got a huge shipment from Reed, who sold me his Hulk comics, and now he sold me his Amazing Spider-Man comics. So I have several of them to go over about recent purchases. I've been starting to get a bunch of Kickstarters trickling in, so that's positive. I've kind of had this philosophy. I got discouraged for a while with Kickstarters, and I'm going to stay away for a while because I'm accumulating a lot of Kickstarters and I haven't received a lot. So now that they're starting to trickle in, I'll wait a little bit longer before I start to get away from being gun shy. Three new DVDs arrived. I got Max Fleischner's Superman from 1941 to 1942. I got Constantine City of the Demons, the movie. I didn't even know that was coming out, tell you the truth. I saw it at Target, but all they had was the 4K. And then I got Supergirl, which I didn't own, which is the Faye Dunaway, Helen Slater, Peter O'Toole. That one is on, what do you call it? DC Universe. Been happy, really happy with DC Universe. A matter of fact, today's Friday, the new episode of Titans is out. I have been keeping caught up on it, and I'm amazed how good it is. It is like an Elseworlds Titans, but that's fine. It is a different world, and I'm digging it. Some of the major changes, we haven't seen Beast Boy yet. He kind of got a glimpse of him, just kind of morphing into an animal. Got a little bit of Starfire in the first one. Didn't know what to. I thought about like the images, the early images. I was like, that's fine. We'll see what it turns out to be. But it makes perfect sense now. About that character and why she looked the way she looked, because they're taking a different stance with this Starfire, which is fascinating. It seems like the alien is able to transfer her entity into another body, and she happened to go into, I don't know this woman's occupation. She could be in entertainment, she could be a stripper, I don't know, a hooker. But she went into somebody else's body somewhere in Russia, Ukraine, somewhere in there, and she's getting shot at, like by these Russians. They're hunting her down. She doesn't know what's going on. She's trying to remember what's going on, and we're kind of going with her as she's trying to figure out who she is and whose body she's in. And she actually lights these motherfuckers on fire, when she goes to talk to them. So she shows her powers. Raven is fantastic because when you read her in the comics, yeah, she's the daughter of a demon, but you don't get like this creep factor, like how scary this is could fucking be, man. And with this character, you get that. It's like possession. It's like a demon is in this girl's body and she loses control. And she has flashbacks or insight into Robin, like she's going to meet Dick Grayson. And she goes hooks up with them, and there's a secret society that's after her. I don't know who it could be, but they know she's demonized. Like there's this one guy that's trying to kill her, and Robin's trying to protect her. Robin's violent as hell. He looks like he's trying to come off of get away from Batman, because Batman in this universe has been really violent. He's trying to come off of it, not to any success whatsoever. He's very violent right now, but he's trying. He's going to try. I'm sure we'll see that. He had a relationship with Dawn, Hawk and Dove, and that has been fantastic. The Hawk and Dove costumes are like right out of the comics. It is a fantastic representation. They're a little more human, and it looks like they're more vulnerable right now, which is okay, 'cause he might like want to retire. I think he did mention his brother Don, so it goes back to the original Hawk and Dove. So yeah, man, it's been so surprisingly good. I didn't expect it to be this good. Matter of fact, it's so good to me that just watching it every Friday, I'm getting way more than my watching one episode was worth the $6, in my opinion. It was almost, 50 minutes long or 49 minutes or something like that. And that's like, I don't know how many comics books you could read in an hour, but that's like four comic books, which digitally, if you think you go to Comixology, get $1.99, you're already getting your money's worth just watching one episode. And I've watched way more than that. I've watched the Legends of the DC Universe, which was way back from the 70s. I'm currently going through a Superman documentary, which is excellent. I've watched two episodes of the first two episodes of Batman Beyond, which I've never seen before. I kind of learned about Batman Beyond from the comics, not from the animated series, and now I'm kind of ingesting it for the very first time. So Titan's been fucking amazing. Matter of fact, I gotta probably try to watch it, but I have a Halloween episode to prepare for Retrocast, so I don't know if I'll get to it this weekend. I'd like to. So I just like needed some time to recharge my batteries. I'm all caught up on The Gifted. I'm one episode, well, actually one episode behind. That series has been phenomenal. Supergirl's been great. I'm caught up on The Flash. The Flash is good. It's not my favorite, but I continue to watch. Arrow's been spectacular. Riverdale's been spectacular. Matter of fact, you got Ollie in prison, which I always like those prison movies. Like you get Escape from Alcatraz with Clint Eastwood, or Lock Up with Sylvester Stallone, or any of these ones. Bad Boys with Sean Penn. You got Ollie in prison. And Diaz is out there hunting his family, and I've really liked Diaz as a villain. So this season so far is really, really working for me. What else? I haven't started Legends of Tomorrow. It's out there. I've been exercising in the mornings, and that's why I'm pretty much getting caught up on. Riverdale's been amazing. Like I'm addicted. Addicted to what's going on there right now. And me and my wife will probably watch the third episode and be caught up on Riverdale. So yeah, I've been watching a lot of TV. I've still been reading a lot of comics. Last week I had a record-breaking week. I read like 60 some. Not record-breaking, I've read more than that. But it was a good week for reading. I've been on this DC mood, so that's where you guys always talk about moods. I'm going to shift back to DC, I think, for a while. And it was prepping for my show, the DC Spotlight with Kyle, and I realized how far behind I was. I was 2 years behind on Detective and Red Hood and the Outlaws. And man, I just plowed through them, and I enjoyed the hell out of them. I really did. I'm all caught up on Batman, with the exception of the last issue. So this ride of reading has been really entertaining to me. Just reading singles as if I have 24 issues of something. It's been pretty amazing. And I started Nightwing, and I'm looking forward to continuing on that, but I have a podcast to prep for, so I gotta read some other books. So I gotta vector away from Nightwing for a while, and I'm getting back into Secret Six, revisiting that, and holy crap, I love that series. This is the second volume. The first volume's from the 70s is nothing like what Secret Six turned out to be for Gail Simone, but Secret Six launched out of Villains United and then became its own miniseries and then became an ongoing. And I look forward to talking about that this Sunday if everything goes according to plan. So that's what's been going on with me, if you're curious. Been buying a lot of comics. Matter of fact, DCBS moved back to their original headquarters, and I got two shipments in 1 week. So I've been getting the shipments on Monday or Tuesday, mostly Monday when they had moved. And this one arrived on Friday, so I had two boxes of comics to prepare for. And a matter of fact, I got to get them logged in and categorized in the system and bagged and boarded. And I got to make another stop at the comic shop, Heroes and Dragons, that sells me the short drawer boxes because I got to go buy another 15 to 20 from him because I'm running out. And what else? Well, let's go into a question. These are questions I had stocked up for a while, and I thought I'd get to a few of them. Kirk, he asks, the first commission you bought. Ooh, man, that's tough. I don't know. But I can sort of gauge when I got into commissions. It was at Heroes Con. Probably my second or third time there. The first time I was just looking for comics and meeting friends. And I can't remember who it was that got me into art. It might have been Campbell, but I'm not 100% sure. I'd have to check because I was like, what is a commission? Didn't really know. But I knew I liked Tom Scholey a lot from Godland. And I liked Eric Larson a lot. And I never got an Eric Larson commission, but I did get a Tom Scholey commission. And I think the first two commissions I got were from him. And one of them was Jimmy Olsen using his Signal Watch and Superman flying over very much in a Kirby-esque fashion. And then I was a big fan of Superpowers, which came after Challenge of the Super Friends, which had the whole Justice League. When Superpowers came on, it had your regular lineup, Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman, Aquaman, the regular lineup, but it focused a lot on Firestorm and Cyborg. And I had Tom draw me Firestorm and Cyborg. So I hope that answers your question. I think those are the two first commissions that I've ever gotten. And then I stayed on them, and now I'm kind of out of them. And the reason I'm not really looking to get more commissions, with the exception of the old Reliables, if I can, I'll only get like one or two, is because they're goddamn so expensive now. I had gotten those two commissions like for $30 a pop. Now they're like 200, so that's inflation. So, changed my mind on most commissions just because of inflation. And it kind of stressed me out. Like I had some bad experiences where I would wait for art and it would come in the last day. And it was very stressful waiting for it, even though they said it would be done by Friday or Saturday. It didn't come until Sunday. And then there were times where they said, I can't get to it. I'll have to mail it to you. And I'm like, oh, I don't want to do this anymore. The anxiety just built up so much. I decided to vector. And in space, I pretty much put these things in an art folder. And I have very few on display. Matter of fact, I only think I have a Lopresti Conan that's in a picture frame. Yeah, that's. I hope that answers your questions on commissions. I still do get Zach Bassett to draw me like a bunch of teams. I really enjoy those. You ask favorite media property adapted into comics, movies, TV, whatever. Answer has to extend beyond the adaptation of the said property, such as Marvel's Star Wars. Favorite media property adapted into comics. Whew. Something that starts off in media and then goes into comics. Well, Harlequin started off in media and then came to comics, and so did Renee Montoya. So those would be my two top characters that started off in TV and then came to comics. I would say Battlestar Galactica, the Marvel one, and the other ones that came after it. I'm very much into that. $6 Million Man and Bionic Woman comics, the Charlton, and then going into Dynamite. I've enjoyed those quite a bit. I always like Flintstone comics. Scooby-Doo comics are really entertaining. Scooby-Doo Team Up. So yeah, there's several of them that have started off in TV and movies and have come over, and I've really enjoyed. The favorite book pulled from a dollar box. I can't really answer that because I don't usually go to dollar boxes. I don't even know they exist. Sometimes at a con there were dollar boxes, but they usually don't have what I have. What I mean, I already have. I buy so many comics that dollar boxes are usually filled with what I already have. Very seldom do I get anything good out of a dollar box. I'm gonna have to answer that. I've never gotten anything good out of a dollar box. Some people get amazing things out of dollar boxes. I just don't have the opportunity, and when I do see a dollar box, it's usually I have everything. You gotta remember that I've been buying comics an awful long time, and I've been buying a shitload of comics, so it's hard to find something in a dollar box that I go for. I guess I have got some Maximum Press books out of a dollar box before, and that was Rob Liefeld's company, and then I went and filled in the rest. But other than that, I can't really think about like stuff on a dollar box. I've been to a $5 box and a $10 box that I've been getting some great stuff out of at Heroes Con, but those are usually 12-cent comics and 20-cent comics, so it's more stuff that I need to get. Would Namor's move improve if he wore looser trunks? I don't know. It's one of those things that you don't know how nice boxers are until you try them, but if you don't know they exist, you're fine with having your tiny whiteys. I don't know how I switched, but I know when I did switch, I was very happy. I don't know how he'd feel. Sometimes they need that extra protection to keep the nuts and dingleberries and the dingling in the package. Maybe he likes to keep them tight. Is Atari Force a force of Atari or a force of good powering through time and space only to be denied their continued dominance by a darker power? I know why you're asking that, but I think that they're denied coming back because of some clause in a contract somewhere, because I think Dynamite would have brought him back when they came on the and they did bring the video game Atari Force, the small edition. We just never able got the Garcia Lopez stuff, so I don't know. Do you feel more kinship to a person when you discover their love for comics? Most of my close friends that I have now are through comics, but I think I form good kinship with people that are happy about life. Even like coworkers are optimistic, they're can-do people. I can joke with them. I only tease the ones I love, okay? So if I don't tease you, I probably don't love you, but if I tease you and joke around with you online, it's because I love you. So I like people have to have a good sense of humor. Yeah, comics are a good way to unite, and my best friends were that are here today were united through comics. But a lot of friends that I have don't give a shit about comics, and I still love them to death. So it helps as an entry point to get, to bond on something, but it's not necessarily. It could be anything geeky or sports or anything. I used to love Madden, and me I one of my best friends ever, we'd play Madden till like 3 in the morning every night. So yeah, I don't know. Softball, I've made some great friends through playing softball. Is Sergeant Rock the greatest character in comics or the greatest character ever? I think he's the greatest military character in comic. I don't think he's the greatest character ever to me. Okay, he might be to you, and that's fine. But to me, I'll always love Flash, the Flash, Daredevil, Black Panther. There's a spew of them, but those are the ones that OMAC, Jack Kirby's OMAC. There's lots that go before the war heroes, and that's just because of my history with them. I do love Sergeant Rock, GI Combat. My favorite Western character is Jonah Hex. My favorite military comic character is Sergeant Rock. Has your podcast ever been hacked by the Russians? I don't think it's worth it for them to hack me. I don't think I have that many listeners, to make it worth their while. This might come up. I do this podcast because I get to stream my thoughts. Sometimes I'm not in the mood for it. Usually I am in the mood for it, but this last couple of weeks I needed to take a step back. I was not feeling it. To podcast alone, you have to kind of be in the mood and you have to be wanting to do it. Because doing it for listeners, because there's not that many, it's really not. And I don't like really promote myself, so my growth of growing listeners probably stays. If I stay constant, that's a good thing. But with all the competition and podcasts, I'm sure I lose more than I gain. Have you ever considered ordering a commission of Team America, US One, Ghost Rider versus Hell's Angels from yard sale artist? I'd have to see what his rates are, but I probably, of those characters, I'd probably go for Ghost Rider. I don't think I'd go for a Team America or a US One. I do appreciate those comics for what they are, but they're definitely not my favorite. Blaze, Ketch, or Cosmic Claptrap? Oh, don't forget Reyes either. I would have to say Danny Ketch was my first ghostwriter where I really got into. But I think over the course of me filling in my ghostwriter run, Blaze is my favorite. And I do like Reyes, the ghost driver. He drives a car. He's good. So the Cosmic Ghostwriter, it's entertaining, but it's very, I like it to be more horror genre, not comedy genre. And the Cosmic Ghostwriter is more in the comedy genre. So I hope that answers your questions. I think, well, actually, you have a couple more. Choose one. If have you ever read Jontor? No. And I think you gave me a picture of this way back when, but I don't even know what the hell that is. Well, actually, Jontar does show up in my comic book database. I don't wonder if it's the same one. It's by Bill M. Miller and Dan Barrett, 1986, and then there's a Jontar Returns. But no, I haven't. It looks like somebody's learning how to do comics just by looking at these covers. But having not seen the content in the comic itself, it's hard to tell. But no, I haven't. Probably it won't. Did you know that before I became Little Fat Spencer, I was Boss Daddy? Before that, I was Dirt Wad. Wow, those are some crazy nicknames. I've had a couple. My first name was Reed. I don't know how I got that from basketball, because one of the players said I shot like Reed Geddes, who was a college player at the time. And I had that name a long time through high school. And I've been called the New Mexican Buddha. I've been called Big Dog. Mostly people call me Myers, by my last name. Have you ever dropped a book because you don't like the story direction, or is it always budget cutting measures? Most of the time that I've dropped books, and it doesn't last long, it's because I have this like reality set in, and it sets in probably once or twice a year where it's like, God dang, I have so many goddamn comics. How am I gonna read all this shit? And then I just take some that aren't my favorite and I cut them, and then what happens is I'm like, why did I cut those? And then I add them back later. So I've never done it for, I did do it for budget only once. I had to save for this house that I'm in. And it was an aggressive, had a lot of down payment to put down. So I pretty much went cold turkey for, I don't know, it was 4 months, and then Barb convinced me to add a few titles, and then it just started climbing as I realized I could afford it. And then it went out of control later, like 15 years later after that, it's get everything. How do you rank John Byrne's Superman work for DC? Please be specific as possible, including titles, issues, events such as Generations. For DC, the only two titles that I think made a big impact on me were Action Comics and Superman, right out of Crisis on Infinite Earths. I've enjoyed other books that he's done. I don't even have Generations, believe it or not. I have to get that if I want all the comics, but between now and 1973, I'll have to get that. But most of my Byrne stuff has been like Alpha Flight, Fantastic Four, Spider-Girl, the Marvel stuff. But the stuff that I cherished on his, on the DC stuff was mostly Superman and Action Comics, and I did enjoy his Wonder Woman, but it wasn't my favorite. Like when he was competing with Phil Jimenez and George Perez, so art-wise I enjoyed it, but like story content-wise, it was not nearly as good to me as the other two. But that's good questions. Thank you, Kurt. I'm going to cut it off at there, and then I have a few more questions for another episode, and maybe I'll talk about some recent purchases. But this was kind of my comeback after 2 weeks, and hopefully I'll get back into the flow of things, because I do still want to get caught up on my weekly reads at some point. I'll be back with some Mike M's weekly reads in a few. Thanks for listening. Hello, and welcome back to Mike M's Weekly Reads. So let's go over some of those weekly reads. And this was a very interesting 3 weeks, because there was some really low numbers. I think this might have been around Heroes Con, I think. I'd have to look it up. But this is for the week of June 11th, 2018 to June 17th, 2018. There were only two comics. Actually, I even totaled the. They were so low I couldn't even add them together. We had from Image Comics. They were both 4 out of 5s, so it means I really liked it. We have Wolverine number 18. Wolverine was infected with an internal spore. It turned out to be turned over to General by Wife Nun. Okay, so I remember this. This was like I can't remember where it was, but he was infected by this weird spore. And there was this nun he was hanging out with at the time, and she used to be married to this military general, and she betrayed Wolverine. So that's what happened. Even though she was trying to save her own son from the general. So that was a 4 out of 5 from Marvel Comics, volume 1 of the ongoing. We then have Skyward number 2. This was an Image comic. A father claims he has a cure for the gravity situation to for his daughter. The daughter seeks help from a former partner. That's the father's partner, by the way, who is out to get her father. I was really enjoying this one. I don't know why I haven't continued, but I'm getting close to being caught up. You know, it's going to be in November and I'm already in June. So then let's go to June 18th through June 24th. There were 23 comics that week. Oh, I didn't even count one of them because I didn't know who the publisher was. I didn't even think I entered it in my database. It'll be interesting if I did. Sometimes, if I don't think it's worth it, I don't enter it. And that's nothing on the creators. I just don't think it'll ever be worth anything. So And I don't think I'll ever go back to reading it, but I'll just put it under V for Valk. This one I rated a 3 out of 5. It was worth reading. It was sort of a tribute to Jack Kirby, and it was a lot of fun, and that's why I liked it. The art wasn't quite Kirby-esque, but it was somebody who's very passionate about comics. I don't remember the writer of this. But I do remember I met him. Alan introduced me to him, but he had said, "Hey, I've met you before," and I was like, "Man, I wonder where I've met this guy." And I had met this creator in Albuquerque at one of their cons, and he remembered. I couldn't place him, but I did remember meeting him, and he had several books, and I thought Valk would be the one to, you know, that I would enjoy the most because of it was very Kirby-esque. Really cool. I enjoyed it. So I'll give it. Ooh, what did I just do? 21, 22, 23, 24. What am I doing? Okay, so I did read Valk. Sorry about that. And I ain't gonna edit this. I'm too fucking lazy. It's Saturday morning. I just want to get one out. And I felt like recording. Batman 41 through 43. This is the Poison Ivy arc where she takes over people so they can have a peaceful existence. Batman and Catwoman restore things back to normal. This is the Tom King current stuff. I think I was starting to marathon some of these, so because I knew the wedding was happening soon, so I started to read Batman heavily. We then get into the 4 out of 5s we have from Marvel Comics. Deadpool Assassin. Weasel sets him against a mercenary group and the group from Japan, and he takes two missions. He takes on two missions with one stroke. Weasel has a wife now, and things are changing, and Deadpool is trying to figure out how to exist without his partner. I was entertained, and I don't usually get Deadpool comics, but I did order a Marvel bundle this week, and Deadpool was in it. I mean, that month from DCBS. And I sometimes think about getting it because I do enjoy some of them, but then I kind of lose interest and I don't get it. It's weird because it's one of those cases where I much rather watch Deadpool on the screen than read him in a comic book. And that's so weird. I sort of liked him better when he was more of X-Force. Or he was in, X-Force. Uncanny X-Force, too. Let's see. We have from Rebellion, Dread Furies, number one. This is continued after the film. So, Mama's Techie, and Mama was the villain in the Dread film. Needs money, so he agrees to steal jewels, when in fact it turns out to be a little girl who needs oxygen, and it is not well, and is not well. He helps her, and he manages not to get arrested, where the gang that hired him was all destroyed and milked their account. I don't know what I mean by that, but it must have been pretty good. We got Peekaboo from Zenoscope. This is number three. I've really been enjoying this one. If you're a fan of the horror movies that are sort of stereotypical in the Hills Have Eyes vein, you will enjoy this comic. It's a military family background as the creatures look to overtake the family with sheer numbers. This is where they end up going, like, I think it's somewhere in Utah or Arizona, you know. They go out there and it's one family that has a military background. It's like a boy and his son that's like been divorced and several other families. And they start getting slaughtered by these like cannibalistic tribe. Like it's like a tribe 'cause there's lots of them in number. And there's a tour guide who runs away, but and he seems to know what's going on. So Peekaboo from Zenoscope. Got Batman 44, which is a 4 out of 5. This is probably when I started to start feeling stuff, like start liking it. We had Catwoman wedding dress issue is also features a flashback. I enjoyed that one. We have from Hero Tomorrow, Tap Dance Killer. An actress is drugged and she becomes a criminal. So she's arrested. She escapes to join up with her gang. We then have Survival Fetish number two. This is from Black Mask. He wants to leave with his girlfriend. This is the runner. This guy actually does running, like runs supplies from one area to another. He wants to leave with his girlfriend, but takes on a last mission to carry a sick child to a destination without getting them both killed. He does not know if he has enough money to keep the snipers from killing him. That's his secret, is he's paying. You in the first issue, you feel like this runner's badass, like he just misses the bullets and stuff, but he's actually paying an organization to miss. So he looks like a hero when he's really paying these guys a portion of what he makes to not kill him. So it's a little shady. The girlfriend's mom is kind of using him as well. Hawkman number one. This is from DC Comics. This is the current volume. Carter finds an artifact that may help him find out who he is rather than just a guy that keeps on getting reincarnated. He finds out he might also exist in space as well. So not only does he die and be reincarnated, but he exists across time and space. So you might have a Kryptonian Carter Hall. You might have another one that's a Thanagarian in space while this guy's on Earth getting reincarnated. So there's a lot of different possibilities. So he had Kator of Krypton. Madame Xanadu helps him find this artifact, and he brings this artifact to her. He also finds that he is the only one that can save the planet Earth. Really good. And we already, me and Kyle talked about, I think, the first three issues on DC Spotlight. So check that out. You got Batman Prelude to the Wedding issues. We have, these were all 4 out of 5s. Batman Prelude to the Wedding, Batgirl versus Riddler. The Riddler attacks Batgirl and he finds out about the wedding from the Joker. He falls in love with Batgirl. Batman Prelude to the Wedding, Nightwing versus Hush. Bachelor party for Batman with Superman and Nightwing. Hush intervenes. Superman is the best man. Hush gets trapped in an alternate world. These were interesting because they all turned out to be a wash. Because you thought Superman was going to be the best man, Nightwing was going to be involved, this was going to be a bigger wedding, and then they decided to get married on the top of a building. So, we had Batman Prelude to the Wedding, Robin versus Ra's al Ghul. I like this one more than the other two. Robin gets close to Selina as Ra's finds out Batman is marrying someone other than his beloved daughter. Oh my goodness. There is some bonding between Damian and Selina. Damian has an hallucination that he is fighting the child of Selina and Bruce. Selina and Bruce. We got Batman Prelude to the Wedding, Red Hood versus Anarchy. It was a bachelorette party for Selina, as Red Hood is hired to protect her by Batman, and Anarchy tries to fuck things up. Very interesting how Anarchy was involved in this, because he was very much a different voice in Detective Comics, but that I've read recently. We have Batman number 48 and 49. This is the Joker kills a lot of people at a church, and Batman shows up, has a bomb go off, which knocks him out, and Catwoman slits Joker's throat, and he shoots her. It was a great voice for the Joker character by Tom King. Really enjoyed this. We then have Batman 45 to 47, which were before these issues, but I liked them more than the previous. It's called The Gift. Booster tries to show Bruce a dismal future where his family lives, and it sort of backfires. Art is fantastic by Daniel, and King nailed the Booster Gold voice. Some people said it wasn't a good Booster Gold voice. That's interesting because I felt it was, but what the fuck do I know? I just read comics. I thought it was a great what ifs type story. And when I look at this and I look at Heroes in Crisis, I think these issues are very important to the state of being a booster. And maybe dead doesn't mean dead when you're dealing with a time traveler. So we'll see how that plays out in Heroes in Crisis. So I'm going to take a swig of my Coca-Cola. Actually, it's not fair. I'm drinking Coke Zero if I can find it. Where did I put the damn thing? Oh, it's Coca-Cola Cherry Zero. We may not be going to a movie today. We're looking forward to Bohemian Rhapsody about Queen, but that's not till next week. But there is a movie. I even forget what it's called, but it's kind of like I would imagine a Hunt for Red October type movie. We may go see that today. We'll see. I still have to watch one movie for a retrocast too, so I wanted to see if Barb wanted to watch it with me. 'Cause she watched the other two. We watched The Birds together, which is going to be a retro movie. We both saw it. I've seen it like 4 times. I didn't remember the ending though for sure, so I was glad I rewatched it. Alfred Hitchcock. The first time I saw The Birds, I this was a cool class. I really enjoyed this. It was an elective in high school. It was called film criticism, where you'd actually watch film, and then you'd write up critiques and papers on it. I had fun in that class. We watched a lot of good films. That's where I first saw North by Northwest and The Birds for sure. I did see Citizen Kane. I was sort of bored to tears, which is supposed to be one of the best movies ever. But I watched The Birds there, and then several years later I watched it on cable, and then I watched it again. I don't own it. It is a very good movie. And the other one I watched for retro is which we'll be talking about, and I thought was absolutely fantastic. It was from 1982, I think, or 1983, and it was called Trick or Treats. And be careful, because there's a lot of different trick or treat movies. This is the 1980 one, and this one was very unique in my opinion, and very entertaining. And Barb and I watched that one, so I wanted to see if she wanted to watch the next challenge, which was called Deep Red. I like to tease Rob because he chose that one, and I kept calling it Deep Throat, which would be a retro movie with Marilyn Chambers. I did see a documentary on Deep Throat. I don't remember if I ever saw the actual movie Deep Throat. I was more of a New Wave Hookers guy back in when I was in high school. New Wave Hookers, and I saw Sika, but I'm not sure I ever saw Marilyn Chambers unless she was in New Wave Hookers. Don't know, but we weren't watching porn. We were watching a horror movie called Deep Red. So we get to do that tomorrow, so I have to watch that movie by tomorrow. So back to Batman. We have Amazing Spider-Man 255. This is the Tom DeFalco run, which I'm still reading. Spider-Man is still looking for the Hobgoblin van, and that the van is based on the actual goblin that the Hobgoblin stole. The costume's taking over him at night. That's the black costume he brought back from Secret Wars when he goes to sleep. The Red Ghost blackmails a old jewel thief and has a run-in with Spider-Man, and he fights his super apes. And the Red Ghost is a if I think he was originated a Fantastic Four villain, and now he's kind of fighting Spider-Man just based on the predicament that he was in. Really love Tom DeFalco's stuff. I am a fan. Plastic Man number one, 4 out of 5. It's interesting on this one, because when I on the rereads, I think I liked Hawkman more, but on the first reads, I think Plastic Man, I liked Plastic Man more, so it's a little interesting. Plastic Man number one by Gail Simone. Gail, this is kind of like, it's weird with and things get weirder as I read more DC comics as far as what's in continuity and what's not. But the way I read Plastic Man is this is sort of a retelling of his origin in the Rebirth era. And he finds out that someone has killed his friend. The killer left the JLA on the wall written in blood. And there's this little boy, I forget what his name is, and he might be transgender. That he calls him a boy, but he's really a girl. I can't remember the situation, but he seems to be Plastic Man's buddy, that story plays out more in following issues. We then get to Brian Michael Bendis, Man of Steel. Rogo Czar goes to Fortress of Solitude and destroys it. And Kandor. He destroyed Kandor. That's kind of a big fucking deal that nobody's talking about. Batman and this will kind of lead Supergirl into space. Batman and Superman work to find out who is burning the buildings. Rogo Czar confronts Supergirl and Superman in Metropolis, and Perry tells the staff the paper is being sold. He kind of did that in the DC Nation comic that launched Bendis' stuff, along with Tom King's The Wedding. and the JLA by Snyder. There's a total of 24 comics. Like I said, I don't even know if I did these, so I'm gonna mention the totals again. Zenoscope 1, Valk 1, Rebellion 1, 2 Marvel, Hero Tomorrow 1, Black Mask 1, and DC 17. We then get into another week, which will lead us into July. This is from June 25th, 2018 to July 1st, 2018. I didn't even total these, but there's not a lot. I mean, it looks like there's more than there is, but there's not a lot. There's 3, 4, that's 10, 12, there's 15. Only read 15 comics that week. I'm a slacker. Must have been a geek brunch week based on the totals too. So we have at the bottom a 3 out of 5, Dark Knights, Batman the Drowning, A World Where the Female, and I haven't even finished these tie-ins yet. That's how disinterested I was in the Dark Knights books. This is The Drowning, a world where a female Wayne becomes an aquatic type of character and fights Aquaman and Mera. We then get into the 4 out of 5s, this was a Dark Knights tie-in. I like this one a little more. It was Hawkman Found. I interpreted this as Hawkman's reincarnation process that he goes through, and it's tied into the DC Metal event. We then get into Omnimorphic Comics, which is Alien Toilet Monsters number 1. A group at a bar is watching a reality show about a strange creature on another multiverse. When the scientist messes up, the creature is transported into the bar. Also, the bar owner's dead wife from another world visits the younger version of himself. I say this is sci-fi crazy, and I enjoyed it. And I don't think there's been any other issues out. If they have, I probably forgot to order it. But I don't have it in my database, so that would tell me that the next issue never came out. Maybe it never will. Omnimorphic. The reason I ordered this from previews is it had a quote from Warren Ellis, and I like Warren Ellis, so I was like, I want to read some Alien Toilet Monsters, and I told Bill to get it too. So if you go to an old episode of Geek Brunch, you might find us talking about Alien Toilet Monsters in much more detail. That leads us up to an Aftershock title, which is A Walk Through Hell by Garth Ennis. I remember Bill liking this one a lot more than I did. And I think Harley wants to go outside. Go on. No, you're lying. You're just scratching the door for no reason. So disruptive. All right. So, A Walk Through Hell, a terrorist act at a mall triggers an investigation by two agents. They are called in to site where strange occurrences are happening, and an entire SWAT team kills themselves when they enter the building. The two agents go in. It's kind of a setup issue. Well told. Interesting from Aftershock Comics. Then we go to DC Comics. We have Immortal Men 1 and 2. A young kid's having dreams of this team and a citadel. The Immortal Men try to retrieve the kid, but are attacked by another faction. We have the Brothers Dracul. This is a Cullen Bunn Aftershock story. A historical fiction about Vlad Tepes and his brother being given to a sultan by the father. When the father tries to betray the sultan, they are now with the sultan's sons tracking down a vampire, Lord Dracula. I said it was like Dracula Untold. A lot of people might not have saw Dracula Untold, but it's an interesting movie, and I saw it at the theaters. It is like a what-if tale, but it focuses more on Vlad Tepes' historical piece than it does go apeshit crazy when he becomes a vampire, but it starts more historically. And it does have some of this father's son, but I don't think he had a brother in here. So it reminded me of that movie. Last Siege, number one. A young princess is trying to have to, or she's going to have to marry an asshole because her father is the king that is killed. That same asshole is picking on a stranger as he comes into town. After a fight, he announces the king put him in charge and things will change. So the guy that came into town is actually gonna run the kingdom. So that asshole is very angry because he thought he was gonna get married and get power, and it looks like he's not. So I assume that guy's gonna come back and kill some people or be the villain of the story from Image Comics. And then we go to Oni. This one was I wasn't going to get. So how did it come about? Well, it was a free comic book day issue. And then I actually met the artist and colorist of the story because they were Luke Foster's friends at Heroes Con. And I really enjoyed their company. We went out to eat, got to talking, got to see her art. She did a Ultra Boy commission for me. And I bought Shadow Roads number one. And the reason I stayed away from it, because there's another book that they did, Cullen Bunn and the other creator, and I haven't read it. I can't remember. It's another Oni Western. But this is a Native American and his partner in England, and given a knife at a museum that may change their future. They are attacked by werebeasts in a train and saved by a woman and her companion. In New Mexico, a tracker mercenary tracks down a young girl who is good with guns and goes after demons that kills her circus trope, so she's seeking revenge. Really cool story. I need to get back on this. I think there's only two, three issues out. I think it's sort of bi-monthly. We got Betroth. This was an Image, no, Aftershock book. These are two teenagers meet up at a high school and don't like each other, but they find out it is the they are prince and princesses from another universe that have to keep together to keep the peace. Kind of like a Romeo and Juliet story, but really well told. That would assume that I didn't like Romeo and Juliet. Romeo and Juliet is an awesome story, of love, the Capulets and the Montagues. I think I wasn't real big into Shakespeare in high school. You know, that's where we're forced to read it in English. But I really did enjoy reading Romeo and Juliet. And I did watch a film of it too. It might have been in that film class that I was talking about. And I don't remember what era this movie was from, but it was from the 80s, obviously. And I really liked that rendition of Romeo and Juliet in the film. The next one is from Shaw Will Studios in Australia. And I read this digitally, but I did get a physical copy because I want it from Comic Talk Today by Martin Ferretti. And I was really happy to get it. This is a horror anthology in which the stories are connected in a painted style. It's put together like a DC Deluxe formatted. If you're a horror fan, you will really dig these things. My favorites were the Bomb Shelter one, where they get trapped in, and the guy who becomes obsessed with his rose garden. That was the first story, but they're all really good. The Bomb Shelter one was the irony because this guy was building something to protect his family, and he actually traps his family in there, which is scary. And there's no, he was doing it in case there was a nuclear bomb go off or something. You know, he'd be able to protect his family, but it didn't go off, and he got caught in there and has no way out of the bomb shelter. Really cool. Andrew Shaw, and I forget, Will Payton, I think, is the artist. Amazing Spider-Man 256 to 257. Puma is hired by the Rose to kill Spider-Man and attack Spidey and the Black Cat. Puma called off after Kingpin finds Rose went against his orders because there's a rivalry going on now, but Rose has Hobgoblin on his side right now. The costume is getting Spidey tired, and Black Cat's powers are really showing up during the fight with Puma as she saves Spider-Man. She also shows how she is in love with Spidey but disgusted with Pete. That was an interesting relationship. But they're keeping secrets from each other, and as DeFalco's writing this story, he's kind of stepping that relationship away. It's not in the forefront, it's very much in the background. So I don't think Spidey knows about her powers at this point, but DeFalco, really good. Amazing Spider-Man 256, 257. Those are 4 out of 5s going from Hawkman Found all the way to this Amazing Spider-Man run. We then get into the 5 out of 5s, which was Black Hawk 248 and 252. The first story, this is 5 out of 5, which means I loved it. The first story, the Black Hawks versus Biolord, who's trying to destroy England. The Black Hawks manage to stop him when Frenchie and some woman fighters come to the rescue. Black Hawk destroys Biolord, but is Black Hawk dead? He kind of fell off the plane to his death. The second story, which is a few issues later, so I didn't have the next issue to read, so I kind of read around it. The second story is Black Hawks have to destroy the War World. Oh, this is a reread. I love this story. Domino, and it's not the Marvel Domino, but there's a character that's absolutely fascinating. She has this white streak from her hair. She's very reminiscent of the Shield girl with white hair. At least that reminds me of her. She's a badass, and she works for the Nazis. But matter of fact, I had a commission done of her by Andrew Peepoy. Domino knocks out Black Hawk several times, but does not kill him as ordered. Is she attracted to him? She seems to be. She has to convince the Nazis she's going to kill Black Hawk, and but she doesn't many times. So she has like this thing for Black Hawk, which makes it very weird. But the War Wheel is in this. Oh, that's a giant wheel, and it's got guns all over the place, and it's got spikes on the wheel, and it just like it rumbles over towns, and you have the Blackhawks, doing everything they can with their planes to try to shoot this out. And one of the guys makes a cool sacrifice, is able to take down the War Wheel in this particular issue. That's Blackhawk 252. Amazing story. Highly recommend it. More so than the Biolord story, I would highly recommend getting a copy of Blackhawk 252. It could be your first Blackhawk comic. It's a damn good Blackhawk comic to read. We get into Marvel Image. This was a one of those paper syndicate digital comics that was produced by Brian K. Vaughan that actually became a physical comic. And this was Barrier Free Comic Book Day edition. The female ranchers' animals are being killed by drug cartels at the border. Hundreds of refugees is trying to sneak into America. Both characters are joined in a weird alien type story. So you got the one refugee, and you got this female rancher, and their worlds are joining. I really enjoy this. I need to get back on this series and continue reading it. I gotta recommend it to Bill if he didn't, if he bought the trade or something, but I probably doesn't have the rest of them because he only reads issue ones. We got the Mall number one. This is another winner from the Free Comic Book Day one. Love this one. I think there's only 3 issues out of this from Scout Comics. A mobster runs a mall as a front with the sensibility of Some Kind of Wonderful, a movie. I absolutely loved it. I love the movie Some Kind of Wonderful from John Hughes. This movie brought me into that world with gangsters, and I absolutely loved it. So, I hope you enjoyed Mike M's Weekly Reads coming back, and we'll try to get 1 or 2 out a week, just like I normally do. Get back on schedule, get these things out, and we'll talk to you again in a couple of days. Bye.